Praise the Lord. How many of you are excited to be in the house of the Lord? The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us come to the house of the Lord. So I just praise God for this opportunity to be able to share his word. It's always an honor and a privilege. And I do it with fear and trembling because I know it's the word of God. Amen. And that I know that we are his body. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and he loves us. He has, during worship, I don't know if you sensed it, but there was just a presence of God. His love was so strong, and he was coming in as Abba, Father, wanting to let you know that you're not alone, that he loves you, that he is with you. Amen? So the message that I have today that I feel like God has put on my heart, the title of this message is The Mentality of a Slave versus the Mentality of the Free. That is the title of the message, Mentality of a Slave versus the Mentality of the Free. So, Father, we just come in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word, that your word is powerful. It stands firm in the heavens. It will not return void. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you would take my tongue and make it the pen of a ready writer, that it would be you doing all the speaking, and that you would, Father God, be glorified, and that your anointing will break and destroy every yoke in Jesus' name. Father, we cast all of our cares upon you because you care for us, Lord God. We don't want to be distracted. We don't want to be worried about anything that's going on right now. We want to sit at the foot of Jesus, just like Mary did. And she heard the Master speaking. So, Father, we want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord wants to speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So turn to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, and we're gonna start with verse 21. So before we read this, as you're turning there, I would like to give an overview. So Paul here is writing to the churches in Galatia to refute the Judaizers, who were extremist Jewish faction within the church. And they taught that Gentile believers must obey the Jewish laws and traditions in addition to believing in Christ in order to be saved. Now, if you have read the book of Galatians, in chapter 3, he starts off that chapter by saying, all you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has cast a spell on you that you started off in the spirit and now you're trying to earn God's favor in the flesh? So this controversy tore apart the early church. And Paul wrote the book of Galatians to bring correction and truth and to keep believers from having their pure faith in Christ contaminated by this heresy. Amen? So he uses Abraham's two wives and his two sons as a picture, as an illustration of God's two covenants to reveal a deeper spiritual truth. So are you at Galatians chapter 4? We're going to start with verse 21. So he says, I'm reading actually from the Passion Translation, Pastor. Yes, you got me hooked. You got me hooked. It says, tell me, do you want to go back to living strictly by the law? Haven't you ever listened to what the law really says? Have you forgotten that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave girl and the other by the free woman? Ishmael, the son of the slave girl, was born of natural realm, but Isaac, the son of the free woman, was born supernaturally by the Spirit, a child of promise. Now stop right there. Who else was born supernaturally by the Spirit? Jesus. Let's continue. Verse 24, these two women and their sons express an allegory and became symbols of two covenants. The first covenant was born on Mount Sinai, birthing children into slavery, children born to Hagar. For Hagar represents the law given at Mount Sinai in Arabia. The Hagar metaphor corresponds to the earthly Jerusalem of today, who are currently in bondage. Verse 26, in contrast, there is a heavenly Jerusalem above us, which is our true mother. She is the free woman birthing children into freedom. For it is written, burst forth with gladness, rejoice, O barren woman with no children. break through with shouts of joy and jubilee, for you are about to give birth. The one who was once considered desolate and barren now has more children than the one who has a husband. Verse 28. Dear friends, just like Isaac, we're now the true children who inherit the kingdom promises. And just as the son of the natural world at the time harassed the son born by the power of the Holy Spirit, so it is today. And what does the scripture tells us to do? Expel the slave mother with her son. The son of the slave woman will not be a true heir, for the true heir of the promises is the son of the free woman. It is now obvious we're not the children of the slave woman. We're the supernatural sons of the free woman, sons of grace. Amen? That is a powerful word, I must say. So here, Paul explains those who are enslaved to the law, represented by Hagar, the slave wife, with those who are free from the law, represented by Sarai. Now, Hagar's name in Hebrew means immigrant, foreigner, or sojourner. In Greek, it means flight, the dragged away one. Remember, we just read that eventually she would get the boot by Sarah, right? Right? As a slave and mother of the child of the flesh, Hagar characterizes those who are seeking to obtain salvation through their own works. We cannot earn our salvation through how good we are, by going to church, even though those are great things, but you cannot earn your favor with God, because then otherwise, like we read in the book of Galatians, then why did Jesus have to die if we can earn our way there, right? People are saved only because of their faith in Christ, not because of what they do. So Hagar represents the Jewish church still in bondage to the law. Sarah represents the Christian church, which is free in Christ. Amen? And we were singing earlier about being free in Christ. I was looking at my wife. I was like, wow, they picked that song by the Spirit, because I'm talking about the freedom that we have in Christ. Amen? So talking about having either a mentality of a slave versus the mentality of the free. Listen to this. People with the mentality of the slave focuses on their efforts and strength to do things independently from Christ. Now, this mentality or idea began where? Where did this idea begin? In where? In the garden. In the garden. That's right. When Eve was tempted by the serpent, remember? You know, when the serpent started coming to Eve and started to tempt her and wanting to do her own thing. And it's still today, the enemy still does the same thing, you know, always wanting us to do our own thing, be independent from God. But you know what? That is still ruling and reigning in the hearts of minds and people today. They're still trying to live their life independently from God. And we read in verse 23 that the son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. And this was recorded in Genesis 16. Let's go there real quick. Genesis chapter 16. And we're going to read only the first two verses here. Genesis 16, verses 1 and 2. And this was their name before God changed Sarah and Abraham's name. So in verse 1, it says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. Verse 2. So Sarai had a bright idea. She said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abraham agreed with Sarai's proposal. Wait, come again? Wait, did I just read that right? Abraham agreed with that proposal? Now, first of all, he could have said no. That's right. You know, like, Sarah, what's wrong with you? What are you thinking? But he agreed with the proposal. And not only that, Sarai said the Lord prevented me from having children. How many of you have blamed God? Well, God, this is your fault. It's because of you that I can't get through this or do that. You know, we blame God. I've been guilty. So if you're taking notes, write this down. We need God's continued discernment. to know who is speaking to us, the flesh or the spirit. Every single day, we're hearing voices. And we hear the soul speaking to us and telling us things. But is that the voice of God or is that the voice of the spirit? We have to discern who is speaking to us. Sarai's proposal to Abraham was a common practice during their time. A married woman who could not have children was shamed by her peers and would often give a female servant to her husband in order to produce heirs. And these children born to that servant woman were considered her children. Now, first of all, Abraham and Sarai both were struggling to wait on God's timing. If you read the prior chapter, the spirit of delay, right? In the prior chapter, God gives Abraham a vision promising him a son. He just got done telling him, I'm going to give you a son, Abraham. But they started struggling on waiting on God's timing. The second observation is that Sarai took matters into her own hands, giving Hagar to Abraham. Then the third thing that we recognize is due to their old age, they had trouble believing God's promises that they would have a child. I mean, could you blame them? They were up in their 90s, close to hundreds. I mean, would you struggle with faith and trusting God? You know, we would struggle, right? The fourth thing is that they felt God was taking too long. And since they were too old, they might have thought, it's not going to happen. That's not going to come to pass. Now, here are some questions that I want to submit to you to consider, for you to think about. How many times have we done the same thing? How many times have you struggled to wait on God's timing? Too many, right? Why? Because we live in an instant gratification society. We want it yesterday. We live in a microwave society. I want it now. I don't want to wait, right? That's what the culture tells us all day long. The second thing to think about is that we often take matters into our own hands. Unfortunately, we've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, have the chips, right? The whole nine yards. The third thing is we have trouble believing and trusting in God's promises. If God said it, don't you think he's going to come through? Think about the faithfulness and how faithful he's been in your life. Is God's credit good with you? Is it? Right? The fourth thing is, like I said earlier, God, you're moving too slow. Right? So we get ahead of God. We make a premature decision. And there we go, give birth to an Ishmael. And we didn't wait for Isaac, the promised one. So I know that we all can testify. We've all made those mistakes, right? But thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace. Thank God that he gives us another chance to retake the test. Amen? So we need to do a checkup, a continual checkup and an inventory and ask ourselves, are my decisions born out of God's effort or out of my own efforts? What are you trusting God for? What dream or what goal or what desire that you have that you need to submit to God's timetable and to God's will? Think about it. What have you been standing in faith, believing God to do in your life? What have you been waiting and asking God to do? There could be a time God is saying, okay, now is the time, let's go. And we could be hesitating, waiting. Wait, God, are you sure? I'm not ready. You're moving too fast. Slow down. In my life, God has always moved quickly. I don't know why. He's always taking me fast. Like when I met my wife, 3 months later, we got married, you know? And then right after that, we were believing God for an apartment, and it happened. Like, God was doing things quickly, you know, just moving fast. And I'm like, God, slow down. You're going too fast, you know? I know, right? Right. It's perspective. How do you see it, right? So do not allow fear or intimidation or poor self-image or even past mistakes to keep you out of obeying God's will and purpose for your life. Listen to this. Your past does not define your present. Amen? You are not your past. You need to look in the mirror of God's word and see who you really are. You are loved by God. You have a destiny. He says you're dearly loved. I gave my life to save you. Sometimes we get tired of looking in the wrong mirror, that I'm defeated, that I'm no good, that I was this, that I was that. Those are all the lies of the enemy. You got to look in the new mirror, the mirror of grace. Amen? So if you still have breath in your lungs, tell your neighbor he's not through with you. Listen, if you woke up this morning and you didn't see your name in the obituary, tell your neighbor he's not through with you. Can I get an amen here? I got up this morning. I went to my porch there, and I just had, you know, I was just looking at the trees, and I was like, wow, look at the beautiful trees and the crisp air, that I have life. I saw the sunrise coming up. I said, Father, thank you, that everything I see is giving praise and glory and honor. The sun has risen, giving praise. Every time you see a new sunrise, it's a reminder of God's covenant promise to you, that the sun has risen and the S-O-N has risen. Amen? Praise the Lord. So here are two of many examples of people God used in spite of their weaknesses. In Exodus 4:10, it says this, but Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I have been tongue-tied. I have a stuttering problem. I can't speak. He says, even now, even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied. My words get tangled. So Moses struggled with feelings of being inadequate, not knowing his identity, in going to deliver the people of Israel from Pharaoh, because he would get tongue-tied. Now, how many of you know that you can make excuses, all the excuses you want, and what do you think God is going to say? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you stuttered. You know what? You're right. Let me pick someone else. I made a mistake. God ain't never going to do that. He knows your weaknesses, right? So he was making excuses as why he did not want to go and do what God was commanding him to do. I have another example. How many of you guys know Jeremiah, right? Go to Jeremiah. Let's go there. Jeremiah chapter 1. I want you to read this. How many of you know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? How many of you are growing in your faith? You're getting stronger in your faith, right? Because my prayer, I said, Lord, let there be an impartation of your spirit into your people. Amen? And that's what I'm believing, God, that when we came in here, we're going to leave here different, right? We're going to leave here equipped and prepared. Amen? Jeremiah 1, and we're going to start with verse 5. I love this. I love these verses here and how God is speaking to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. It says, and God called Jeremiah and said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Verse 6, oh, sovereign Lord. I love his response. I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. Who does that sound like? You, right? Moses, right? You can go on and on and on. But look at what the Lord says in verse 7. Listen, if you are young here today, don't think that God can't use you. Don't think you have to wait till you're old. God can use you at 14, at 15, at 16. Don't say that you're too young. The Lord replied, don't say that I'm too young. There is your answer. For you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. You heard that? I'm going to say that again. Don't say I'm too young, for you must go, and I will send you and say whatever I tell you. Now, let me ask yourself this question. Do you have the mentality of the free, or do you have a mentality of a slave? Think about that. How do you think? How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a slave person, as a beggar, as an orphan, or do you see yourself as a child of the living God? That you have the full heir of the promise as Jesus. Now, going back to Galatians chapter 4, where we began, in verse 23, Ishmael, I'm going to read that verse again. Ishmael, the son of the slave girl, was born out of natural realm, right? But Isaac, the son of the free woman, was born supernaturally by the Spirit and is a child of the promise, right? In verse 31, it says, and now it's so obvious. We're not the children of the slave woman. We're the supernatural sons of the free woman, sons of grace. I love the way the Passion breaks that down. Sons of grace. Look at your neighbor and tell him you're a son or a daughter of grace. That's who you are. Now, let me ask you this. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? God chose Sarai, but then changed her name to Sarah to become the mother of nations, the covenant line descendants that would lead to the Messiah, Jesus. And just like God kept his promise to give Abraham and Sarah a son in their old age, because God is not a man that he should lie, and whatever promise you've been standing on, you need to continue to believe, because as long as you have breath in your lungs, God can still do the miracle. Amen? Those who believe and serve Christ will also reap the benefits of their obedience and loyalty to Christ. If you stand your ground, you're going to see God come through for you. Amen. Look at what Galatians 5:1 says. This is a present truth, a present reality. And I'm telling you, you got to receive this in your spirit. Because if you receive this word in your spirit, you're going to start walking in a new level of freedom that you've never experienced before. Galatians 5:1. New Living Translation, for those that have that translation. It says here, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in the slavery to the law. Let me read it in the Passion Translation. It says, at last we have freedom, for Christ has set us free. We must always cherish this truth and firmly refuse to go back into the bondage of our past. I don't know about you, but the flesh, the enemy, always wants us to be looking back at to the things that we were in bondage to. He always wants you to look back at your past failures, at your past mistakes. And I remember the Apostle Paul said, forget those things that are behind me, pressing on towards what's ahead. You know that it takes effort to forget what's behind you? You have to continually say, no, I'm not going to think about that. That old man is dead. He's been crucified. Jesus Christ died to set us free from sin, from the law, and from the regulation. Because of Christ nailing our sinful nature to the cross, we are able to live unselfishly. We all have the capacity to live unselfishly because of Christ in us. So listen to this. We cannot allow anyone to enslave us again with rules and methods or traditions of men to be saved or to grow in Christ. Religion and legalism does just that. It stunts our spiritual growth. Don't get caught up in the trap of legalism or religion, because that'll stunt your growth. Galatians 5:13, New Living Translation says, for you have been called to live in freedom. How many of you enjoy freedom? God wants you to live this life free. Free from everything. Free from your past. Free from addictions. Free from sin. Free from those things that continually trip us up. God wants you to run your race with no hindrances. We're all running this race. Amen? He says, my brothers and sisters, do not use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's the freedom that we have, to serve one another in love. So Paul shows the difference between the freedom to sin, which is no freedom at all, because it's going to enslave us again to Satan, versus the freedom to serve and do what God wants and to glorify him. Remember, Jesus came to serve and not to be served, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. Now let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 34 through 36. I want you to see this. In John chapter 8, verses 34 through 36. Yep, John 8, 34 through 36. It says this, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. Verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free indeed. Amen? Jesus himself is the truth that sets us free. He frees us from continued slavery to sin, self-deception, from being deceived by the enemy. I was talking to someone at work the other day, and I was telling them that I saw something. I don't know if I saw it on YouTube somewhere. And they said, almost every American has a Bible, right? Almost every person in America has a Bible in their house, right? Everybody, some people have two and three Bibles. He says, if you get deceived, you deserve to be deceived. Because you have a Bible. Why aren't you reading it? And I said, wow, that is so true. If we're deceived, it's because we want to be. We have the words of life. In China, they are ripping out the pages of the Bible and sharing the Bible, and they're desperate. When they get a whole Bible, it's like hitting the lottery for them. That's how desperate and hungry they want the word of God, and they can't find it. They can't get it. And here in America, we have Bibles everywhere. We have bookstores everywhere, and there's not a hunger. There's not a thirst for the living word of God. And God wants to bring us back to that hunger for his word. Look at 1 John 3:8. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy them. He came to give us that freedom. He came to give us life. Many people are walking around with a ball and chain, still in bondage to things of this world. And Jesus wants you to be free today. He wants you to be free from that mentality of a slave, from the mentality of an orphan. He doesn't want you walking around begging like a beggar. He wants to invite you into his family. You might be sitting here this morning not being a son yet, but God is inviting you today to come and be a son. To be a son. Amen? So sin has a way of enslaving us, controlling us, and dictating our actions. There's another example in Numbers 13, and you don't have to go there. But in Numbers 13, we read the story that everybody is familiar with about the 12 spies. They were sent out to explore Canaan. 10 came back with a negative report, and 2 came back with a positive report. And the 2 were, of course, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb believed God would give them victory over those giants, right? But the 10 others did not believe God and infected the whole community with doubt, with fear, and they tested God. They had a mentality of a slave, of a mentality of an orphan, due to living in Egypt for hundreds of years as a slave. They physically left Egypt, but Egypt was still in their mentality. Egypt represents sin and bondage to this world. Ladies and gentlemen, we have left Egypt, our old sinful life. Our mindset now must be renewed and be reformed to think like Christ. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Amen? We're in a new camp, the camp of Christ, the kingdom of God. Amen? That's why we have to set our eyes not on things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. Right? We got to keep our eyes on the prize, on Christ. We're only sojourners passing by this earth, doing the will of the Father. In Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Amen? So we make the same mistakes as the Israelites have done, right? We keep thinking and living like slaves. So to continue the story, in Numbers chapter 14, after hearing the negative report about the 10 spies, again, be careful who you're listening to. People will come with the negative report. You ain't going to make it. You still got this. You still got that. You're not going to... Be careful who you listen to. At work, when people speak something negative or something over me, I look at them, I cancel that in Jesus' name. And they look at me and they laugh. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, there's power in your words. Don't curse me. Don't speak that curse over me. I'm a child of God. I don't receive that. I take very seriously when people speak words, because words have the power to create life. So be careful what you let people speak over you. Amen? That's right. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. The people protested against Moses and Aaron, all because of those 10 spies speaking all this negativity. They started complaining against Moses and against Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt or even in the wilderness. They even complained and said, wouldn't it have been better that we could return to Egypt? Listen to the power of negativity, how it turned up. The whole people got into fear and doubt. The Israelites, after seeing all the miracles, the great deliverances, and the power of God, I mean, these people saw the power of God, and they still had the audacity to say, I wish we can go back to Egypt. He brought us out here to die. That's like a smack in God's face. But listen, they still chose to refuse to believe God that he would give them the victory over these giants. What giants are you facing in your life right now that you need to believe and trust God to give you the victory? What giants are you facing? What mountain are you facing that it seems impossible in the natural? Remember God's faithfulness over your life. Let's not make the same mistake that the Israelites made. Wow, God, I wonder if you're going to come through for me. I wonder if you're going to be faithful. No, God is faithful. He is faithful. Even when we're faithless, he remains faithful. Amen? So listen, they were operating in the mentality of a slave. Now listen to the consequences that they got. And may it serve as a warning to us today. None of them entered the promised land. They all died in the wilderness, having a wilderness mentality of an orphan, missing out on God's best for their life. Only two people, Joshua and Caleb, made it in. Why? Because they chose to believe God's promises. They operated with the mindset of the free. And God is telling us this morning, what mindset are you going to operate in? Are you going to continue to operate with the mind of the past, with the mind of the slave, with the mind of an orphan? Or are you going to operate with the new mind, the mind of the free, the mind that says that I am free in Christ Jesus? He whom the Son says free is free indeed, right? So listen. The main point of the story is we must be careful not to allow a hard, stubborn, prideful, rebellious, doubting heart to keep us from obeying and following Christ in this short period here on earth. When you go to the cemetery, you always see the day that they were born and the day that they died, right? And you see a little line. And that represents that a person's entire life. You can live to be 100, 150, whatever. And that is still a little life compared to what's coming, compared to the eternity that we are going to have with Christ. So these stories in the Old Testament, go ahead, give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. These stories in the Old Testament are recorded for us to avoid the mistakes that they made. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom."
What is there?
Freedom.
Now you got to say it like you believe it. There is
freedom.
There we go. That's right. In Christ, we have liberty. We have freedom from our sins, our burdens, and our addictions. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. It's possible to live in the new life that we have in Christ with the old mentality and the old mindset. We have to be integral, spirit, soul, and body. Amen? Just like Adam and Eve were before the fall, they were integral. That's how God wants us to be. Listen to what Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says. For he has, past tense, he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Verse 14, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Let this cross right here be a continual reminder that he purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. How many of you are thankful for the cross? Amen. Amen. Just like Sister Bloom was saying about the blood and the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. That blood has the power to set you free from any addiction, any sin, anything that keeps you in bondage. You've been set free. It's like being in a prison and the door is wide open. So many people are living in a prison and the door is open and they can just walk out into freedom. But yet they're living their whole life in bondage when they're free. That's why the word of God says you shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Amen? So I want to do a quick mental exercise right here. The mentality of an orphan versus the mentality of the free. Now, I'm going to ask you a couple questions for you to think about. Do you see yourself as a son or do you see yourself as an orphan? So listen to this. The mentality of an orphan versus the mentality of a son. I'm going to show five examples. And I want you to think about which one can you relate to. The mentality of an orphan serves out of duty, only doing what's required. Versus the mentality of a son serves sacrificially, going the extra mile. The mentality of an orphan only serves part of the vision he likes in the house. Versus the mentality of a son holds the father's vision as his own, seeks to accomplish it completely. Number three, the mentality of an orphan focuses on me, I, mine, self-centered. Versus the mentality of a son speaks by using family mindset languages, like we, ours, others focused. The mentality of an orphan, number four, frequently questions decisions by saying, but why? How? What if? Versus the mentality of the son says, will submit to the father's authority even when it doesn't make sense or even agrees with it. And the last one, the mentality of an orphan says this, keeps people dependent on them to make them feel better about themselves versus the mentality of a son that builds into the lives of others. He's a contributor. He's an encourager. He's a generous giver of time, love, and resources. So who do you see yourself as, a son or as an orphan? Who can you relate to the most? And there, this is in no way condemnation. This is just an evaluation for us to do a checkup, just like when you take a car and it needs a little tune-up, right? New spark plugs, new oil changes, right? How many of you know that we all need a tune-up every now and then? We got to look in the mirror of God's word and say, oh, yeah, I got to get rid of that. Yeah, that's a bad attitude. I got to get rid of that too, you know? We're not perfect. We're all on this journey. Call sanctification. The Holy Spirit is working on us, right? But we're on this journey together. Amen? Amen? To encourage each other. So as I close, I want us to close with the story that many of you know, the story of the prodigal son. I want to close with that story. So let's go to Luke chapter 15. How many of you are enjoying this word? I hope that God is ministering to you. Luke 15, and we're going to begin with verse 11. And I am going to read out of the Passion Translation. Luke 15, 11. And I want to read the story only because for those that have never read it, that might not be familiar with the story. It's a powerful story. And then we're going to pray. All right. It says in verse 11, then Jesus said, once there was a father with two sons. The younger son came to his father and said, Father, don't you think it's time to give me my share of my estate? So the father went ahead. First of all, that's really disrespectful for a son to go to the father and say, I want my inheritance. I know you're supposed to be dead, but I would like it now. You know, that's kind of like rude, you know? But anyway, that's another whole topic for another whole day. Let's keep reading. So the father went ahead and distributed between the two sons their inheritance. Verse 13. Shortly afterward, the younger son packed up all his belongings and traveled off to see the world. He journeyed to a far off land where he would soon waste all that he was given on binge of extravagant and reckless living. With everything spent and nothing left, he grew hungry because there was a severe famine in that land. So he begged the farmer in that country to hire him. The farmer hired him and sent him out to feed the pigs. The son was so famished, he was willing to even eat the slop given to the pigs because no one would feed him a thing. Now stop right there. That was like despicable for someone from a Jewish race to even touch pigs, to even be around pigs, let alone to want to eat their food. But he was willing to go that low because he was that desperate. Verse 17, humiliated, the son finally realized, came to his senses, what he was doing, and he thought, wait a minute. There are many workers at my father's house who have all the food they want with plenty to spare. They lack nothing. Why am I here dying of hunger, feeding these pigs and eating their slop? That's a good question there. I want to go back to my home, to my father's house, and I will say to him, Father, I was wrong. I have sinned against you. I'll never again be worthy to be called your son. Please, Father, just treat me like one of your employees. So the young son set off for home. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming. I love this. Dressed as a beggar, and great compassion swelled up in his heart for his son who was returning home. The father raced out to meet him, swept him up in his arms, and hugged him dearly, and kissed him over and over with tender love. Then the son said, Father, I was wrong. I've sinned against you. I can never deserve to be called your son. Just let me. And the father just stopped him right there. The father interrupted and said, Son, you're home now. Turning to her servants, the father said, Quick, bring me the best robe, my very robe. I will place it on his shoulders. Bring the ring, the seal of sonship, and I will put it on his finger. Bring out the best shoes you can find for my son. Let's prepare a great feast and celebrate. For my beloved son was dead, but now he's alive. But he was once lost, but now he is found. And everyone celebrated and overflowed with joy. Hallelujah. Now the older son, here we go, family feud, was out working in the field when his brother returned. And as he approached the house, he heard the music of celebration and dancing. He heard the party, right? He called over one of the servants and asked, What's going on here? The servant replied, It's your younger brother. He returned and your father is throwing a party to celebrate his homecoming. The older son became angry and refused to go in and celebrate. So his father came out and pleaded with him, Come, enjoy the feast with us. And the son said, Father, listen, how many years have I worked like a slave for you, performing every duty that you've asked as a faithful son? I have never once disobeyed you, but you never thrown a party for me because of my faithfulness. Never once have you ever given me a goat that I could feast on and celebrate with my friends as this son of yours is now doing. Look at him. He comes back from wasting your wealth on prostitutes and reckless living. And here you are throwing a feast to celebrate for him. And the father said, My son, you are always with me. You were always by my side. Everything I have is yours to enjoy. It's only right to rejoice and to celebrate like this because your brother was once dead and gone, but now he is alive and back with us again. He was lost, but now he has been found. Give the Lord praise this morning. The younger son wanted to be free and to live as he pleased until he hit rock bottom and chose to repent and return home. The older brother who remained in the home with his father was filled with bitterness in his heart, though he had it all. The older brother was just as lost, if not worse, than his younger brother, because he lost sight of who he was and what he had living in the father's house. How many of God's children are living in the father's house and they're living like they are orphans, like they are slaves, not knowing that they have it all? They're living a lifestyle of like a beggar when they are sons of the King of Kings. At times, it is possible to lose sight of what God has already given us as his children. Think about it. You've been adopted into his family. We are heirs with Christ. We have been engrafted in. Amen. So who do you identify with the most? The son that left or the son that stayed? Either way, the father responded to both of his sons with forgiveness, with love, and with acceptance and restoration. Our mentality has to be continually renewed and changed to be reformed into the image of Christ. We must allow Christ to be formed in us, in our attitudes, in our behaviors, in our lifestyles, and in our actions. I want you to please stand with me. As we close in prayer, and if you could play some soft music, I would like us to submit these questions for you to consider as we close in prayer. What negative mentality do we need to surrender at the cross? What is it that you need to let go of? Is it an attitude? Is it a thought? Is it a fear? What is it that has plagued you, that has been a ball and chain for you, that you've been carrying around, that you want to let go of today? Or what barriers or habits keeps us from growing closer to Christ? Is it a mindset? What is it? God is wanting to deliver this message because he loves you so much. He paid an immense price so that we can live free from sin, free from the bondages. Or what sin or unforgiveness are we refusing to let go of? What is it that you need to let go of today? So as we pray, I want to read this verse in Philippians 2:5. It says, allow this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Jesus became a slave so that you can become free. Amen. Father, we want to thank you so much for this word. We want to thank you, Lord God, for giving us freedom in your Son. It was for freedom that you came to give us life and life in abundance, oh God. Father, you don't desire for your children to be slaves of anything, oh God. The only slavery is slavery to Christ. And in that slave, there's freedom. There is freedom. There is joy. There is peace. And if you're here this morning and you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, he's inviting you to come. He wants you to be his son, his daughter. He wants to write your name in the book of life. And no longer do you have to wander around like that prodigal son out in the world without a family, without a father. He's calling you to come to him today. If you stand in the need of prayer, no matter what it is, I'm inviting you to just come. Just come. And you're not coming to me. You're coming to Jesus. You're coming to him. And he's waiting for you. He says, come and lay your burdens down, and I will give you rest. This life is difficult. It is hard. And God wants you to let that go. He wants you to release. He wants to release you today from all the past, all the burdens, from anything that you're carrying. He wants you to let it go. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We worship you. We worship you. Go ahead and lift up your hands and just worship him. Just worship him. Give him praise. Give him glory. There is power in your praise. He can set you free right there at your seat. As you praise him, as you glorify him, as you exalt him, because when you're praising him, you're executing a sentence on the enemy that God got your back, that God is delivering you, that God is setting you free. There is freedom in your praise. There is freedom in your worship. There is freedom when you open your mouth and you say, Lord, here I am. I belong to you. And the good work that you begin in me, you will complete it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. If your heart is hurting, put your hands over your heart and say, Lord, here's my heart. Heal my heart from my past. Cleanse me. Heal me. Give me a new heart. Father, renew a right spirit within me. Just cry out to God right where you are and allow his spirit to touch you, to heal you, to set you free. Refuse to leave this place the same. Don't leave here the same. God wants you to be free. He loves you with an immense love. If he gave his son for you, what else would he withhold from you? Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Father, we love you. We adore you. We thank you that you've been so good to us. You're the God that gives us chances over and over and over. We're only here today because of your grace. We're only here today because of your mercy. We're only here because you said no to death, no to sin, and you said yes to life. Yes, Father, we are here because of you, because you're not done with us. You're not done with us. You're still writing our story, oh God. Your chapter is not over. It's only the beginning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Come on and give Jesus praise this morning. Hallelujah. Let's sing that out. Let's sing this song. Let's sing this worship song to the Lord. Father, we worship you. This song is a song of victory. This is a song of victory. This is a song of praise. This is a song declaring that we are free, that we have freedom. Today is a new day. It's a new beginning. It's a new horizon. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for freedom. We are free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing it out.